Welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, coming at you across the web with the most exciting interviews and the best in Ohio State football and basketball coverage. Here's your host, Joe Dexter.
What is up, Buckeye Nation? Hello and welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. It's Halloween. We're not scared of things, though. Claire Crawford, Joe Dexter. Hey, Claire, you know what the Halloween best costume is in 2013 for college football?
What's that?
Michigan State and Michigan thinking they're playing an important game on Saturday. That's the best Halloween costume I've seen all week.
I thought that was going to go a completely different direction, Joe. I'm glad you kept it that way.
It could have been. It could have been. I'll tell you what, the worst Halloween costume, though, that I've ever had, it's not anything bad. Okay, ladies, cover your ears. No. When I was 5 years old, my mom decided that it would be a good idea that I went to school as a nerd scientist for Halloween.
Awesome.
Yeah, the problem, though, was, Claire, that when February came around, I didn't get any Valentines. Oh. Let's just say that.
Poor little Joe Dexter. My mom made me dress up for Halloween 1 year and we had some crazy costumes, actually. 1 year we dressed up for Halloween, but it ended up being like, they told us we could dress up at school. And then it was like the Monday after Halloween, so everyone had kind of forgotten about it, and I was seriously like the only kid in the entire school who ended up coming in a costume, so it felt like a complete like outcast that day. And then I showed horses my entire life, and they actually have a costume class that you can enter in, and people will go through these elaborate, beautiful Native American costumes and just evocative of the most beautiful things in the spirit of a horse. My mother chooses to make me a paper mache hamburger, and my horse is the chef. It was by far the most humiliating thing I've ever had to do.
Oh, man. I think that tops mine.
I think maybe.
Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I hate this holiday. I don't
know.
You
do?
I hate Halloween.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's like this. I don't see the point in it.
Well, as a woman, I love this holiday because any inhibition that I may have had about my wardrobe earlier in the year is completely wiped clean for Halloween. And it is licensed to dress up inappropriately. It's very fun.
Did you hear about that lady? I can't remember where it was, but instead of giving kids that she deemed obese or on the way to being obese, gave them a note instead of candy. Hey, kid, here's a piece of paper. Check this one out.
Yeah, it was on the Today Show this morning. And what I really want to know is how fit this lady is, because she is sending a letter with just the obese kids, not the regular kids, the kids that are healthy. She is sending home who she deems obese, a note to the parents, basically saying, you should monitor what they're eating better instead of giving them candy.
So I guess the question is, if it's in Michigan, if Brady Hoke came to the door with his kids, would he get a note? That's the question.
He would get an entire dissertation.
Oh, man. Time to talk college football as we get ready for Purdue. It's on the way, and some college football news. We'll get to that right away. Starting off in the Big Ten, Claire, some big news is Nathan Shielhouse, the quarterback for Illinois, finds out some interesting news yesterday that his father has been banned from campus for a year after he was arrested on an altercation at Saturday's football game. According to university police, it was an argument involving at least five people. There was no necessarily word out about what the argument was, but he's banned for a year. Shielhouse is a senior. That creates one of the weirdest type of situations you could ever have in college football.
Right. I'm not sure how they're going to monitor that either. I mean, how is it that he's not going to be allowed back in the stadium? Are you going to check everyone's ID before you get into the stadium? I mean, and you said banned from campus. Like, how is it even possible to ban somebody from, and who is going to enforce this?
That's the real question. I mean, a pre-trial hearing is set up December 17th, and his dad is 51 years old. He played football at Iowa. Now, here's the interesting part to me. It's your starting quarterback for your university, and the way that his father was let known that he's banned from campus for a year was by a letter in the mail.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't know what could have possibly happened. It's kind of like the Michigan fan with the mace in the face. I just want to know what happened that they felt it necessary to ban him for an entire year. I mean, what could he have possibly said or done? The father of the starting quarterback, I mean, I feel like he would have gotten some leeway even.
It's a misdemeanor, too. It's not like this.
Yikes.
What can you do? I mean, if I was the starting quarterback for Illinois' dad, I might not want to go to the games anyways because you've been that bad, but there's no need to ban the guy.
Well, you've seen him play plenty of times. I feel like Shielhouse has been the starter for like 25 years now. He's gotten his chance to watch him play.
If you're Coach Beckman here in Illinois, you take over the job, you're trying to start things over, you get Shielhouse, who's considered a decent quarterback in college football, so you have to work with him, then you have to work with his family, and what Beckman said this week was, quote, Shielhouse is a great young man, and I know he'll be able to work through the situation. Nathan can only control what Nathan can control, but what can Coach Beckman control in this situation? Already walking into a tough door in Champaign, and now he's got this as well.
He's got a mess to clean up. Well, maybe you ought to ask Urban Meyer. He might be able to give him some advice on that. And honestly, it's just going to be about keeping his young quarterback focused for the next Saturday and really just doing what you can with what you have at the moment. And I think that's all he can do. It is a tough, tough situation. And it's a mess.
Speaking of messes, Florida Atlantic now a complete mess. Their defensive coordinator and head coach now out the door. According to athletic director Pat Chun, a guy that's come into this university and really started turning things around, a guy that's really respected around not only college football but college athletics, he walks into a situation where he has to investigate his head coach, Carl Pelini, the brother of Bo Pelini, and ends up excusing his head coach because he was busted with illegal drug use. That's something that goes beyond the football field. That's just insane.
Well, it doesn't sound like the NCAA will punish them very harshly. You should just ask Miami when it comes to illegal drugs and the punishment that goes along with that. I'm sure it's not that big of a deal, according to the NCAA. But that being said, that's obviously a huge, huge problem. And kind of in a big indicator that things are much, much worse down there than anyone had feared. And the Pelini family in general is on the hot seat right now. Obviously, Bo Pelini not linked to any of that, but his job is definitely, I would say, his seat is getting warmer, if not very hot at the moment.
His first head coaching job, it is for Carl Pelini. I'm going to guess, at least at this point, you never say never, but my guess is it's last.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, at that point, you're not going to get another coaching position. It's different when, you know, you find different things through the NCAA about, you know, inappropriate funds or, gosh, it could be just about anything other than what happened at Penn State or illegal drug use. No one wants their children to be around that.
According to ESPN's Brett McMurphy, it is due to marijuana use. Pat Chun says that they conducted the investigation because they were able to get under it and get a grasp on it, as you explained, considering the Miami situation and how we know the NCAA likes if you take care of things compared to hide them. The one thing that's interesting about it is there's a $450,000 buyout in the contract for Pelini. That's probably going to be voided.
I was going to say, yeah, null and void if that happens. I'm sure that there's a stipulation in the contract for that.
So now Florida Atlantic steps out of a position where their head coach was 5-15.
I mean, if there was a silver lining, that's it.
Florida Atlantic was one of the many Florida programs that continues to grow. And it's sad to see, but is this something that you think you could see more college football, or is it just an outlier? I mean, we're seeing not only We saw the synthetic marijuana use was a huge issue with players. It makes you wonder, where do the players get this idea of using these type of drugs from? I wonder what type of problem it actually is in college football.
Well, I think it's a bigger problem in college football than with players and the students than with coaches. And especially with, I mean, places that like Colorado or like Arizona, I can't remember off the top of my head, the places that, you know, if you have your quote green card, then it's legalized. And of course there are many, many other doors we can open here, but, I could see it being a bigger issue, amongst the college players than, the coaches. I mean, that's kind of like the last thing that you would think of, as the coaches having an issue, with illegal drug use. But obviously, you know, college kids are college kids, and you would kind of expect that. But again, I don't think this big a problem with the coaches. This feels like a late incident to me.
You look at it at the major universities, and our experience with Urban Meyer and what he's told all the fans out there in the media, to the fact that they have somebody monitoring Twitter 24/7, all of these types of coaches and people inside the program, it shows and proves just how important they are.
It really does. And gosh, I mean, I can't even imagine them doing Twitter, our buddy Al Gore and Brad Roby like to tweet and Facebook and Instagram a lot. And with growing social media, like, you know, Vine and just, if there are so many ways for them to get into trouble now, even more than before. So they're, the compliance department always, always, always has their hands full. But on the other end, there's always someone trying to trip them up. I mean, there is always someone purposely trying to test these young men and these athletes in general, just college athletes in general, trying to trip them up to gain an advantage or to, you know, what they think would be, quote, helping them out. And it's really not. And it's something that I'm sure that they get talked to a lot, and they go through courses and classes about how to handle certain things and what you should and should not be putting out there and who you should and should not trust. But they're still very young, impressionable men. And I cannot imagine that it's easy.
Let's talk college football and continue looking at the schedule this week in comparison to Ohio State. Ohio State, of course, undefeated. A couple of important games on the slate. We already joked about Michigan and Michigan State, but that game could be a key game in factoring who Ohio State could match up if they make it to the Big Ten championship game. Michigan State looking like their offense could turn into something last week. Michigan has the offense but not the defense. This game, to me, is a true tale of if Michigan has two turnovers or more, the game's pretty much in the books.
I think so too. I really do. They don't have the power to come back from it. I just think that, well, and you say if they have two turnovers, like Devin Gardner is not going to throw a few picks. I am not real sure what's going on with that young man or who is coaching him up. Not going to lie, I'm absolutely fine with it. But when it comes to the strength of Big Ten, they're not representing for us. But yeah, I can definitely see that.
The one thing that's interesting about this game to me too is we know that Michigan can't run the football. Michigan State's the best rush defense in college football. They've got one of the better pass defenses in college football as well, and it's not like Michigan knows how to pass the football.
No.
They still have arm puntitis at times, and so I don't really see Michigan competing in this one, despite – yeah, look it up. WebMD. I'm sure they got it.
How do you cure that, Joe?
You don't go to Michigan.
You don't go to Michigan. There you
well,
go.
Well, no, I – I guess that can't be the cure, because if Denard Robinson went to Ohio State, he still couldn't throw. But
This is true. This
but
is true.
But he'd be playing wide receiver or defensive back. So I guess the cure around the cure, because you're not fixing the arm, simply is just put him at defensive back. That's what Urban Meyer would do.
You can't throw. You can't catch. He needs to be the last person off the bus is what he needs to be.
Oh, man. Denard Robinson. We thought that it was going to get better with Devin Gardner, but really it just
– ugh.
He had a really good start, a really huge game against Notre Dame, but it makes you wonder where the program goes from here. And hey, we're not complaining.
And they keep touting them as having these good recruit classes. So, I mean, as a really true Ohio State fan, you want that team up north to be a good team. It's good for college football. It's good for the Big Ten. It's good for the rivalry. We still want them to be less than Ohio State every single year. But and there's no question in my mind. It's kind of like a threshold with me, with me wanting that team up north to win as opposed to having a really good season. If they lose like more than, say, 3, then I want them to lose all of the other games. I'm completely fine with them just being god awful. But if they lose like 2, you know, then I'm still kind of rooting for them to win out until we beat them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense to me, because the other side of it is, A, in the last year of BCS, you kind of want that Michigan team to be good when you play them.
Yeah.
And if they're not good, you don't necessarily. It's still that rivalry is still there, so that part of those 3 losses, you kind of want them to continue to do bad because it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. It's great to watch. It makes me happy. I get coal in my stocking every year because I'm really happy at Michigan losing.
It's what helps us sleep at night.
Very true.
Another big game will be number 7 Miami at number 3 Florida State Saturday at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
The reason that's a huge game is obviously both are undefeated. It knocks off an undefeated team. Florida State, you would think, is a favorite in that one. Jameis Winston comes into this ball game really proving that he belongs in the top-notch talk of quarterbacks.
I really think so. I actually had in our rankings that came out last week, had Florida State as number 1 over when they beat Clemson that previous week. It was impressive, and it's because I actually had thought really highly of Clemson and where they were playing and the level they were playing at. For Florida State to just go in and put the whooping, I mean, just embarrass them, it was really, really impressive. But I really think that Miami could have Florida State's number. It would make my year if that could possibly happen. That would be so great. And Jameis Winston is a stud. He has a very, very bright future. I would not be surprised if he's invited to New York.
The one thing that's interesting about the game is either way, it's kind of like Ohio State's situation where whatever team wins, they really don't have that many of challenges down the road. Miami, yeah. I believe, still has – or Florida still has – or Florida State still has Florida State on the schedule after this one. So that
they're terrible.
And they're terrible. The only thing they know how to do is run the football, and they can barely do that. So yeah. The one thing that you look at it from both ways, you would think that a Miami win would, though, still be good for Ohio State, considering Miami is number 7 and Ohio State's number 4.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. I don't think it's that. I don't think that they would be able to leapfrog Ohio State if that did happen. I guess who is Miami face the rest of the year?
Their schedule at 7-0, they're first in the ACC on the east side. Their schedule from here on out, it's not as tough. It's still
so similar to what Florida State is going to face.
Yep, except they do still have Virginia Tech next week. Other than that, they've got Duke, Virginia, and Pittsburgh. So they've got tough more games left. I could see a Virginia Tech pulling an upset if Miami were to beat Florida State.
That'd be great.
Then you got 2 teams knocked off.
Yeah.
It is at home for Miami, but still.
Oh, okay. was gonna say, I could. I'm in that neck of the woods now, Joe. I could always go make a trip and root for Virginia Tech for a day.
Just you know, when you do that, call that guy with the Jeep with all the Buckeye stuff
Yes.
and make it a road trip.
As another side note, just in case our listeners have not heard before or follow me on Instagram or Facebook, there are lots and lots of Buckeyes down here in Virginia, and I found a Jeep Wrangler, my favorite, completely decked out in all Ohio State stuff, and the license plate said FUMICH. It was so great. It made me just, my heart swelled. I felt even more of Buckeye pride. I felt like an American. It was so great. And yes, or I guess it was the other day, it was maybe 10 o'clock at night, and it was after the gym, and I see a license plate, and it has the Block O alumni leaf on it, and it's spelled out Ohio. And this old man thought I was a crazy person, pulled up quick beside him, and I rolled down my window. I'm waving at him like a nut job, and I scream, "Oh, wait!" And he just looks at me kind of scared, and he just pantomimes the IO portion. He had to be like, "This lady is out of her mind." But he still gave me an IO, so
Little did you know that was actually
he's not
Gordon Gee.
right.
Was
He was wearing a bow tie.
he? Wow.
I know.
Oh man. That guy, that poor guy. That's all I got to say.
This really crazy sweaty lady is following me in her car. What
Plus,
does she want from me? Oh, wait, she just wants an IO.
you're probably at that point, like, you know, when you go to the gym and then you get it done and you're tired, but like
Yeah.
the 10, 15 minutes afterwards, all of a sudden you just get this ball of energy. That
Yes.
was you, wasn't it?
I was like meth head maniac, wide-eyed, like, "Oh my gosh." And I was so excited. Oh, it's and it was Virginia license plate, but I didn't even know that was an option. I can't wait to get my Virginia plates just so I can have, like, you know, something that you wouldn't be able to get in Ohio, like FU Michigan. That would be great. That one's taken, though.
So that made your heart vessels gush. I can't imagine what the big, huge win over Penn State did for you.
I shed a tear. It was beautiful. It was magical.
A huge
I was
win.
really excited.
A huge win over Penn State. The one question that it brings up is, okay, so we beat Penn State. Fantastic. Our schedule still stinks. And
Yeah.
we still, the best team left on our schedule is a team that lost to them in overtime and we spanked them. So it's good and it's bad to me.
Well, I mean, the really good part is that it was that statement win that we've been looking for so long. You know, the statement win earlier on in the season isn't that much of a statement because it wasn't in conference play, but this statement that they made the other day, last Saturday, was huge. It was huge. It's what they needed. And you know, you hear the talking heads talk about it after, you know, after the game is finished, and they're like, "This is the kind of game that if Ohio State continues to play like this, that they deserve to be in the conversation with the Alabamas. They deserve to be in the conversation with the Florida States." So, I mean, it's instantaneous, instant gratification when it comes to this type of win. That's fine with me. Everybody understands that Penn State is not a very good team this year. I think they thought they were a better team than they are now, but it sounds like that's exactly what they needed. And if they just continue to roll like that, I think that the pollsters and the powers that be will be fine with that.
Well, I mean, this game was it was toast at halftime, a 63-14 win for Ohio State. It's the worst Penn State loss in 114 years. So you can rub that into your Penn State friends if you have any. I don't know why you'd have any, but if you
Right.
do, if you happen to have any, it's a huge win for Ohio State in that sense. And just to have that 63-14 win, I think one thing you take from this game as well, Braxton Miller through the air, 252 yards. He's able to move the football and look comfortable out there. And hey, Claire, we did not get the pick six, But you know what we did get? We got Braxton Miller and Kenny Guyton on the field at the same time.
That was so awesome. It was like seeing a unicorn. Like, it was my football unicorn.
All of a sudden, I hear the announcers say Braxton Miller and Kenny Guyton are on the field, and I'm in the live chat at the Buckeye Battle Cry, and I'm going, where's number five? I can't find him. Where's he at? And Eric's like, he's in the slot at receiver, Joe. Calm down. Breathe.
It's okay. He'll be fine. It really, I was just glad that they didn't mention Chris Leak and Tim Tebow at that point. It
yeah.
Made me happy.
That was refreshing.
Yeah. but it was super exciting to see, and it was fun to see them throw, or at least I'm sure that they've had that wrinkle for a while, expose that little wrinkle out there for a while. And I just have so much respect for Kenny Guyton and him as a player. It just sounds like, I think they mentioned in the broadcast too, that Coach Meyer had said that he is so proud of and impressed at the way that Kenny Guyton knows this offense. He said he would have him as a coach on his team any day.
And that's pretty good. That's the best it gets, really, when it comes to compliments.
Yeah, it really is. I'm not sure how many current coaches. I know for a fact, Zach Smith, the wide receivers coach and the grandson of Earl Bruce, he played for Urban at BG. He was a wide receiver for Urban at BG. So anybody out there that really is a student of the game and is a hard worker, I'm sure that Urban notices that, and Kenny Guyton would be a perfect fit for somebody like Urban Meyer.
One thing that Kenny Guyton has too is class and style. I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but thanks to our great friends at Land Grant Holy Land down the road, this dude has the handshake for every single teammate.
What?
Yeah, he's throwing handshakes to everybody.
Like a different handshake?
Like a different handshake.
I'm like a bro code kind of thing?
Yeah, like, this dude, not only does he play some type of jazz, any type of jazz instrument, the dude plays jazz on the field, and he's got smooth moves with the hands. You couldn't ask for anything else from this guy.
He's a captain. That's so great.
I
love Kenny Guyton.
He did get into the game in the fourth quarter, and we talked about that in his performance a little bit. Didn't really get a chance to throw the football as much, but with the five touchdowns in total from Braxton Miller, it looks like he's finally catching up to where Kenny Guyton started.
Go ahead.
With those seven touchdowns against Florida A&M, it's good to see that Braxton's finally catching up. And the one thing that I took really cool from the game is when Guyton scored, I believe he scored in the game, or they were down in the goal line, and Braxton Miller just congratulated him down there, and that was just a cool moment, I thought, in the game.
It's very cool, and it's cool to see the dynamic between the two of them. And Urban Meyer reiterated again in the press conference this past Monday that, you know, even just having Kenny Guyton warming up when things aren't going so well for Braxton, which hasn't happened in a while, luckily, is definitely not any sort of subtle piece of psychology. He is constantly watching how Braxton is going to react, and he comes up with it every time. And I'm sure Kenny Guyton knows his role on the team. And if it's only to prove a point to Braxton Miller for Urban Meyer, then he understands that that is his part in the team, and that is what being a team is all about. You see, Corey Brown, as a wide receiver, is a very talented wide receiver, making key blocks. Our tight ends making these unbelievable blocks and getting involved in the game that way. He even talked about you know, the different running backs that are coming up and how it is so important for them to be complete running backs and to start blocking, because blocking is not the glamorous part of the football game, but it is an extremely important part of the football game and it's part of being the team. And that's why a soapbox moment here, but it really is the greatest team sport, because everyone has to work together, and sometimes it's not always the glamorous part that helps your team get the win. And it's exciting to see Kenny Guyton embrace that role.
I think this is the first game in a while with the talent that's on the field, too, that we saw a combination of kind of the smash-mouth Big Ten Ohio State running game football that we're used to, combined with the weaponry-type spread that Urban brings to the table. I mean, you have a team that ran for 408 yards on the ground of the 686 total yards, but you also had a team that on third down was 7 for 10, and a lot of that was through the air.
Yeah, that's surprisingly so, especially since the running game was working so well. They just couldn't stop it. I mean, there was nothing that they could do to stop it. So kudos to Tom Herman for keeping his head on his shoulders and for just pushing through and coming up with a great game plan for this team. It was great to watch.
We talk about him every week, but Carlos Hyde, man, in that running game, in total, yards per rush, 8 yards per carry on Saturday last week, and Carlos Hyde leading the way. Just 16 carries. But like I was talking about in the live chat, at carry number 16, as effective as he was with his 2 touchdowns and his 147 yards, it really felt like he carried the football 25, 26 times.
It really did. It was a surprising stat to pull up. I was kind of surprised at that too. I'm like, really, 16? But we got some guys getting some other touches out there though too. So it's just so impactful when Carlos Hyde gets the ball that it feels like it almost feels like when Ted Ginn would get the football and everyone would kind of hold their breath to watch how dynamic he was and what was going to happen.
One of those players like that and young too.
Exciting to watch. And he is really developed. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, Dontre Wilson, 26-yard pass catch. And you talked about a little bit in the Silver Bullet points about how Urban talked about how he needs to add some weight. And you said maybe even add 15 more pounds than what Urban was thinking, because that kid, as fast as he is, he's really small.
He's small. And I can see him being, and I'm not sure how tall he is on, you'll have to check on the chart for me. It doesn't necessarily look, he just looks like a wide receiver out there, and it scares the daylights out of me. Urban said he has put on 15 pounds since he has been here, which surprised me. Coming from someone in the fitness industry, if man, woman, I don't care who you are, 15 pounds of muscle is a lot. 15 pounds of anything is a lot. But he for sure could definitely stand to put on another 15 pounds. And I don't think he would lose a step at all. If you look at how Darren Sproles is built, I think that would be more appropriate for his frame. And he would definitely have to put on at least another 15 to get there. But ooh, we have the strength and conditioning coaches to do it. I tell you what.
When he came to Ohio State, he was 5'10", 175, so probably close to that, getting close to 200 pounds. Maybe that 200-pound mark would be where it's at.
Yeah, I think he would probably still be comfortable there. And, I mean, it'll depend on him, too. The coaches will definitely have to make sure that they're balancing that. and sometimes when you put on muscle quickly, it's hard on certain things, like weird things, biceps. You see, like, bicep and hamstring blowouts when you put on a lot of muscle really quickly. And tricep blowouts, it's really, really weird. But I am very sure that they will monitor him. It takes a lot of discipline on his part. I mean, it's not like we can wave a magic wand and say, let's put on 15 pounds on him. I mean, a lot of that has to do with his diet and his regimen daily. So it says a lot about Dontre Wilson that he has put on that much weight so far. And it says a lot about the coaches to really, because I know a lot of the guys, you know, work really hard in the weight room and that part they can embrace. But when it comes to their nutrition, in order to get their weight up like that, it's not exactly as easy to do, because your coach is not sitting with you when you eat breakfast. Coach is not sitting with you when it's time to go to study table. So it says a lot about his character that he has done that so far.
One thing I think we're finding, too, is everybody's finding their roles on this team, and everybody's contributing at this point that is getting into the ball game. We talked about Dontre Wilson with the touchdown catch. two receptions in this one for 35 yards, 17.5 average in that front, and a run for 12 yards. And I think the key thing, especially with these younger players like Wilson, is finding their roles in the offense and using them to what their advantage is. And that's definitely where we're going to see Wilson at least for the end of this, to the end of this season.
I think so too. And I, with Coach Meyer saying, calling for him to start blocking more, and he congratulated him for seeing that out of him more often. And again, it says 5'10 on the depth chart. It's, you know, how they kind of stretch that a little bit. So he could be 5'8, 5'9 at the most. He definitely has a role to play, and it's not the same as Carlos's role. It's not the same as Rod Smith's role. It's not the same as Ezekiel Elliott's role. And it's just a luxury that, or a commodity, as Coach Meyer would say, that they have, you know, that we have that ability at Ohio State to be able to run that like that.
You mentioned the offensive line too, and your silver bullet points in the tight ends as being champions. One thing that I took to looking at it and breaking it down, Braxton's and Kenny's 20 for 26 performance through the air, you had Devin Smith with 5 receptions, Philly Brown with 4, Spencer with 4, Fields with 4. You're being able to spread the football around against not the best defense in the world, but still a more formidable defense than some teams that we faced before this year.
And I love that they're spreading it around. I love that, you know, I think if anybody, Corey Brown is probably the more favored target. But it really sounds like it's just something. It's got to be a complete nightmare for defensive coordinators to try to prepare for.
Let's look ahead to this weekend on Saturday noon. Purdue and Ohio State. Ohio State looking for win number 21 in a row. Purdue struggling this season, yet to get their first win in the Big Ten. 1-6 on the season. It's in Purdue, Claire, and we know the history between these two teams, especially the last few years.
Oh my gosh. It really is kind of spooky, and not, you know, to play on the fact that it's Halloween weekend. But really, Purdue always plays Ohio State tough. I don't know what it is or how they get up for it every time. But especially in West Lafayette, on paper, Ohio State is a favorite, and it's going to be, you know, not as big of a challenge as we as fans are probably making it, but we have very short memories and are very long memories, I should say. We remember just some close calls in big games in West Lafayette and in the Horseshoe against Purdue.
Here's the positives. Look, breaking it down and looking at Purdue at 1-6. They haven't won since the week 2 of the season against Indiana State.
Yikes.
They've only scored 7 points in the last 2 games.
Oh, boy.
And they've got blown out by Northern Illinois, who's a good team, don't get me wrong, but 55 to 24. They got blown out by Wisconsin, 41-10. Nebraska beat them 44-7. And last week, Michigan State put together some offense. They got 14 points. Though they did return a fumble for a touchdown. So, they got some points, but they're still the same old Michigan State Spartans.
So we'll put 7 on the board for Michigan State.
So, it's interesting because of the history of this Purdue team, though, they're, as Mally pointed out in some of our company emails, Danny Hope's not there. They've always had a coach with a mustache, so maybe that was just the voodoo. I don't know.
Right? It did seem to go very seamlessly from Joe Tiller to Danny Hope with the mustache. It was almost like and Coach Hazel is not going to rock the mustache.
Oh man, I would never rock a mustache like that. It's takes
November.
Guts.
It's almost November.
No, I'll grow the beard. I will not grow a mustache like that.
Are you the kind of guy that can grow one overnight? Like you seem like you would be able to have a really manly facial.
Yes.
Beard. Yeah, you could. Because I think some guys are hateful and bitter about November because they're the patchy kind.
Oh, you mean like George W. Bush?
Yes.
It kind of grows in patchy.
Yes.
See, I don't have that problem, so that's why I go full beard. And plus, to me, there's only two things that are going to come good out of growing a mustache like that. People are only either going to think I'm some weird college football coach, some weird NASCAR driver, or a pedophile. So those three are not good things to me, at least
it's
in my
creepy.
Book.
I'm not a fan of the mustache. The mustache is just, it's all kinds of creepy. Even as like a police officer or a firefighter, for some reason they love their mustaches. And even like in the military, you're allowed to have a mustache. It's just not allowed to go past a certain point, I think. But yeah, we're really off topic. But November, and you could, if you wanted to, grow a Daryl Hayes or a Joe Tiller walrus-esque mustache if you wanted to.
I got to bring this up. It's off topic, but I'm going there.
Okay, go ahead.
In wrestling, you have to have your nails trimmed. You have to have your face trimmed. You cannot have anything that is considered, you know,
an advantage.
But you can have a mustache
if you grow it right.
So if you grow it right and you say grow it before the season where it's kind of, you know, that thick, bushy mustache.
Creepy.
Oh, yeah. I had to wrestle a couple of those guys my senior year. You're just looking at the mustache the whole time. How are you supposed to win a match like that? It's an advantage. Make them shave it. Okay.
It is an advantage. I know a lot of kids that, and I've been steeped in the wrestling culture myself, but that has to be weird. And God, oh, that's just so creepy.
Oh.
I don't know how that's allowed. Sideburns? Are you allowed to have sideburns?
You can have them up to the length of your earlobe.
That is
so
nuts.
You know, I'm a sideburns guy.
Are
that
you?
That killed me in high school. It was rocking my style, man. It was ruining it.
You're cramping Joe Dexter style. What weight class were you in high school?
I wrestled anywhere from my senior year from 145 to 160, depending on the match.
Oh my gosh. I know all about that. Ugh.
See, the one thing for me is I didn't care about losing weight, and I weighed 145, had no problem getting to 145, but I liked wrestling 160 because then I get all the huge, big kids that were a lot slower than me.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. Can I add one more thing? And it is a little off topic, but it's kind of on topic because it's Ohio State still. Lance Palmer, former national champion and state champion wrestler from Ohio State, is they had like a big event this past weekend. Mike DiSabato started something called Agon Wrestling, and it was out in Las Vegas, and they call it the Hexagon, and it's like the first professional wrestling, not like WWF kind of wrestling, but professional wrestling match, and then a couple different matchups and things like that. But Lance Palmer was involved in that.
Didn't he go by, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't he go by Lance the Party Palmer?
He absolutely should be if he's not.
That's like the sweetest MMA name.
Right? It should be the Party.
Yeah,
yeah, he did MMA for a little while.
Lance.
But he had like cornrows for a while. He cut the cornrows off. He's looking clean cut again. I'm sure his dad is extremely excited about that.
That's right. It was Lance the Party Palmer.
That's awesome, dude.
Hey. There's some good MMA wrestling connections through Ohio State history. I mean, they're there.
True. And Big Ten.
Yes,
isn't
definitely.
Brock Lesnar? Brock Lesnar was from Minnesota. He wrestled from Minnesota. Ugh. Crazy.
Then, of course, Mark Coleman from Ohio State's one of the bigger ones. So.
How could I forget?
But, yeah.
He was out there, too.
Lance the Party Palmer. I'm just going to have to... I can't beat that. If I ever went into the octagon or the hexagon or the jodecagon, I don't know. I'm going to have to come up with something better. But Lance was 7-0 in MMA. That's pretty impressive, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He is absolutely. And there was a documentary about them. And for some reason, the name of the documentary is escaping me, about Lance and his brother. I think it's Jordan. It was a documentary. It was kind of like showing the dichotomy between those brothers and the way they were raised in their hometown and their wrestling culture, and then across town, how another young man was raised in wrestling culture, and he was kind of starving himself to get to where he needed to be in weight class, and he didn't have much of a support system, and it wasn't a very affluent family, and it showed the Palmer side and how dedicated they were, and his father's belief on wrestling, and they had a bear. They owned a bear that they would wrestle.
What?
Yes. I'm telling you, this is a great movie.
Oh, man, a bear. Could you?
Bear, I'm not kidding. Oh, they would, man, like, take this bear to, like, events and stuff like that.
Pay 50 bucks, wrestle a bear.
Exactly. I'm not lying about this. You have to look it up.
Well, see, that would combine something I love with something I'm completely and deathly afraid of.
Oh, my God.
What? Wow. Well, from wrestling and bears and mustaches back to Purdue and Ohio State, BTN 12 o'clock, number 4 Ohio State and Purdue again, 1-6 on the season. They've got some good young talent, though, and the quarterback, Danny Etling, has done well stepping in. One of the elite quarterbacks, he was in the Elite 11 for the class with JT Barrett alongside Shane Morris in the Big Ten Conference, and then there was Danny as well. That's a true talent when you can get into an Elite 11 competition like that. Out of Indiana, he goes to his hometown university at Purdue, and he stepped in pretty well.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's going to take some adjusting, and, of course, there's the room for rebuilding there. But I think they have a good future. It's something that they can recruit out of. You know, Indiana's tough. You know, it's not like they're really competing for recruits with Indiana, but they definitely are with Notre Dame, and they can definitely pick up some talent here in the next few years and build this team up to its former glory.
Well, Claire, you want to know how you make a freshman quarterback tougher?
Put him up against Ohio State's defense.
Well, there's that, of course.
Okay.
Then you have him wrestle a bear. I mean,
that's true.
It's that easy. Just have him wrestle a bear.
We can just call Ryan Shazier the bear this next week.
There we go. And that'll definitely be the key. And I think if Purdue has any chance in this ball game, it's going to have to be with this defense of Ohio State not playing up to the par they have. I mean, we saw against Penn State a team that was form tackling, a team that was getting after the football, and on assignments, I thought that the secondary and Brad Roby especially really stepped up their game.
They really did. It was so great to see them clicking on all cylinders, finally starting to get aggressive, finally starting to put pressure and get some penetration on the Penn State offense. It was so great to watch them come to where they were supposed to be and playing and where they were supposed to be. Like, the first probably 10 questions in the press conference had to do with what Coach Meyer thought about how the defense stepped up this last weekend. So it was a notable difference in the way that they played. And I think a lot of people had high expectations of what that team could be. Obviously, the talent is there from the coaches to the players. So I was extremely excited that they stepped up the way they were. I still think, and Coach Meyer said it too in the press conference, the linebacking core, they are playing well, but they are not playing to their potential, I think. And it's just an area, and it sounds like even like Coach Meyer might think that they might be pretty close to the threshold of, this is just kind of who we have right now. And it sounds like he's trying to really develop the roots of that linebacking core and start seeing who they have in the stable.
Man, the one thing from this that I always wonder, after a performance like that, it only takes one big blown coverage touchdown. It only takes one misassignment before people say Luke Fickell needs to be taken out of here.
Yeah.
But I think he's the right guy for the job.
I think so, too. I mean, with his pedigree with Ohio State, and obviously Urban Meyer is not going to keep anybody around for any sort of pity's sake. He is a smart businessman and knows what he's doing. He's not going to blue it around just because he was the head coach and the year before and really tried to steer the captain the ship as well as he could. Urban Meyer's not that kind of guy. He's not the kind of coach. So obviously he has the talent to coach at that level. It's just whether or not he can sustain it for the long haul. I think he's the right guy for the job. He does need to be careful.
Hey, yeah, watch out for the pizza delivery man and right. Be all right down there, okay?
Exactly right.
I'll tell you what, if speaking of MMA and mustaches, well, not mustaches, but speaking of MMA, I dare anybody to take on Luke Fickell in an MMA match and then tell him your defense stinks.
Joe, that's why you like Luke Fickell so much.
Yeah, okay.
He's a wrestler.
I was supporting him as head coach. I'm not going to lie.
I wonder what he had to wrestle in high school because he's a tall guy.
Oh, he must have wrestled that. I think it was close to heavyweight, if not 189 or something like that. But he's tougher than I ever will be.
Says you, Joe Dexter. You never know. Hey, let's schedule. We could schedule a grudge match between Luke Fickell and Joe Dexter.
Whoa, whoa. All right. If we're going to do that, here's the rules. I get to pick two former Buckeye wrestlers to be in my side, and I can just, like, they can tag team.
You're going to pick a wrestler that I match up with.
Oh, I could pick the wrestler to match up against you.
Yeah.
The winners move on for a championship. And then my hope would be I could just become like the manager guy, just holding the sign. No Tommy Rollins!
I thought you meant like the ring girl for a second that comes around with the sign.
I could do that. I don't think fans would appreciate that, though. She's Claire Crawford. It's the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. We took you everywhere this week you wanted to go and more. Claire, it's always fun to have you on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. Want to thank you for listening. Enjoy Saturday's football action. Enjoy your Halloween. Be safe out there. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And check out our great website and the great work from all of our great writers. That's a lot of greatness right there. TheBuckeyeBattleCry.com. Again, thanks for listening. And as always, go Buckeye.
For more on the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, visit iTunes or check out our media page. For more Buckeye news and notes, visit www.thebuckeyebattlecry.com.